We even have a scholarship program through raise.me where even freshmen in high school can start literally acquiring scholarships to HBU. It's raise.me, raise.me. And they call them micro scholarships. So you can create a profile. For every A that you get, you know, you earn $150. And for every organization that you're involved in, you earn, you know, a couple hundred. So you start literally acquiring these scholarship dollars. You're cultivating that relationship and hopefully getting in that mindset of HBU is on my radar.
Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing program to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnston, with today's guest.
Today we welcome James Steen, the Vice President of Enrollment Management at Houston Baptist University. James, it's great to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, you're known across the country for recruitment and enrollment management. Tell us about that.
Sure. I don't know that I'm known across the country, but I'm certainly known by some within the world of enrollment management. And I've done some consulting with other institutions and certainly have a lot of contacts within this world of enrollment management, and speak at a lot of conferences and do different breakout sessions and speaking sessions at those events. So I've met a few folks along the way.
And is that with Noel Lovitz?
It is. So I started a little over 10 years ago as a part-time consultant for Noel Lovitz, and that's changed a little bit over the years. Ruffalo Cody purchased Noel Lovitz, and so now it's Ruffalo Noel Lovitz.
Okay.
So, but I'm still one of their senior associate consultants and still get to have at least one client per year that I get to work with. So
that's got to be rewarding, because there are a lot of schools across the country mm-hmm. that aren't where HBU is, and others that are even larger.
Sure.
And they really want to grow.
Mm-hmm.
They're desperately needed.
And as we know from various statistics and National Clearinghouse and other data reporting agencies, the enrollment really is flat or declining nationally,
right,
for traditional higher ed. And so it's not just small institutions these days. It's publics, it's certainly privates, and even community colleges are struggling with enrollment.
I want to get into that in just a minute on why they're struggling. Give us the background about mm-hmm. your family
sure.
and your faith.
Sure. So I grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas, and had an opportunity to, we grew up Episcopal, but I had an opportunity to go to a Christian camp in the fourth grade, and really heard and basically accepted Christ in a pretty powerful way. We started going to, my mother and I started going to a Baptist church at that point, Indian Hills Baptist in North Little Rock, Arkansas. So grew up, graduated from high school, went to Baylor. And after I graduated from Baylor, I ended up working there as an admissions counselor. So as a sophomore, junior, and senior, I was one of those student tour guides that would give prospective students a tour of the campus, and got to know some admissions folks. So whenever I graduated, I knew they were looking to hire an admissions counselor. So that was my opportunity to get in and at least do some traveling and some recruiting for Baylor, and thought I would do that for a year or two and then go get a real job. But, you know, 24 years later, here I am.
And so what was the steps from Baylor to the next step?
So after I graduated from Baylor and literally worked at Baylor for 13 years, I started as an admissions counselor and was an assistant vice president for admissions and enrollment services. So during my tenure at Baylor, Dr. Sloan was president for 10 years. And when he became the chancellor, and was traveling and was available. Houston Baptist University was savvy enough to recruit Dr. Sloan to be on their presidential search committee. Their real plan was to get Dr. Sloan to become president at HBU. And so they were successful in that venture. And about a year or so later, I guess it was the fall of 06, he became the president of HBU. And he started September 1, and we started communication in August. We started talking by way of phone.
James, get down here and help me.
we met in person, and then my wife and I came down to look at HBU. And at the time, my wife was 7 or 8 months pregnant, and we were expecting our third child. And so there was a lot of transition in a pretty short period of time. So Dr. Sloan started September 1. I started November 1 as Vice President for Enrollment Management. And the rest is history.
Wow. We're talking to James Steen, Vice President of Enrollment Management at Houston Baptist University. From 2006 when you began today, mm-hmm. I mean, you've seen a lot of things happen mm-hmm. to this place. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a synoptic overview?
Sure. So, you know, we from an enrollment management perspective, transformed in a lot of ways, the way we recruit, the way we generate student leads and certainly applications. The fall before I came to HBU, they had just enrolled a class of 256 freshmen based on 829 applications. Well, the first year that I was here and the class that we brought in, we brought in a class of 456.
Wow.
Based on about 4,029 applications. So we really blew up what I call the top of the funnel. So getting more leads, more inquiries, certainly more applications into the funnel to cultivate relationships with. And you couldn't do that anywhere else other than Houston.
Right.
There's so many other institutions that probably are not generating leads and inquiries and applicants to the level or potential that they could be, but there's not this 4 million plus population right here in our backyard
right.
to recruit from, to generate leads from. So the fact that we're in Houston, Texas was a huge part of that, certainly that success. But in that time, obviously, we've seen some enrollment peaks. We've seen some valleys. Certainly, after 2008, the economic downturn
yeah.
was a challenge. We had a hurricane, so Hurricane Ike certainly caused a lot of problems for the institution. The building that we're in now was out of commission for 3 years.
Wow!
So that was a problem, and it posed some challenges. So we've seen all kinds of different. Good and bad challenges. We when I came on board, one of Dr. Sloan's goals was to ramp up athletics and get us back into NCAA. And I think within the first year, we had applied to be back in the NCAA. And by year two, we were literally on track to do that. Once we got back into the NCAA, of course, we started football. We added several sports. It's been a pretty amazing journey, and then everything else in between. We used to be on the quarter calendar. Now we're obviously on the semester calendar, and so many new majors and programs have been started since then. So for the last decade, it's certainly been a lot of change.
Well, I mean,
here.
And there must have been a dramatic number of new staff from mm-hmm. the year you started to today.
Absolutely, yeah.
Hundreds, probably.
I think when I got here, we had two processors, and literally today, and those are just simply doing data entry and keeping up with all of the applications and the documents we were generating. And so when we went from 800 applications the year before I got here to 4,000 in 1 year. Those are good problems to have, but that causes problems. So yeah, we've had to staff up, and certainly on the faculty side, on the staff side, there have been a lot of personnel additions over the year.
Now, James, also give us a snapshot of about your kids and everything.
So we have four kiddos, three boys and one girl. So my oldest is a 14-year-old. His name is Harrison. And then Cannon is my next oldest. 12-year-old, my daughter, is 10. And her name is Millie. And then our youngest is Shepherd. And he's 8 years old. So they definitely keep us busy.
I imagine they do. I Christy and I, as empty nesters, are very grateful that stage is over.
Yes. You're in the grandparent phase. That doesn't count, does it?
Yeah. When the triplets came over Sunday, it was kind of neat for the time they were there.
Exactly.
But man, is it neat to hand them off.
Exactly.
Now, let's talk about the challenges that Glenter the other day in a Wall Street Journal said that in the next decade, the university is going to redefine itself. I mean, I know you and I, we read all kinds of stuff. If we believed everything we read, we probably would be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. But what is your view of where the university is today and where it's going to be a decade from now?
You know, I mean, we've seen predictions. The higher education is dead. The higher education bubble, it's going to burst, you know. So many have predicted that higher education is on the decline, and I think while there is some truth to that, certainly higher ed is changing and it's adapting. We're not going anywhere. This industry is solid, and it is while some would say higher ed in some sense has become a commodity, it is still something that is an absolute necessity. I think the modalities are changing in ways that students have access to online and different remote locations that we've never had, obviously, in the past. But higher ed, as it existed in your generation and my generation, I think is very sound and safe and secure. But I think we are going to see more institutions becoming not only more well-rounded in the sense of how they're offering coursework, whether that's traditional on-ground or online, but certainly the offerings and the programs. And I think there are some who have said certainly Christian higher education, where there are challenges with smaller private Christian institutions trying to offer anything and everything to compete with publics or even larger privates, secular institutions that have more resources and larger endowments. Some have said it's not sustainable, and I think there probably is some truth to that, and I think you will see potentially some smaller institutions. We've seen some smaller institutions who have close the doors, who aren't with us any longer. But I also think we've seen a lot of entrepreneurial and very different types of strategies come out of those necessities where with an entrepreneurial mindset, you've seen some institutions do some pretty phenomenal and creative things. And so I think for those of us who have that mindset, the sky's the limit. But I do think that higher ed, although it is changing and it probably will look different in 10, 15, 20 years, certainly when my kiddos are in college, I think higher ed is safe and sound, but it's certainly going to continue to evolve over the next several decades.
Much like a coffee shop, in that the coffee shop 20 years ago looked a certain way, and Starbucks looks a little bit different. But
and certainly you could make some cost comparisons to that too.
Yeah,
a $5 cup of Starbucks coffee looks a lot different from a 25-cent. Cup of coffee.
In our current pillars, we talk about David Brooks' remark on the hills of his book, Road to Character, where he took this journey to all the Ivy League schools, speaking on his book topic, and then he got this tour to Christian universities and colleges. And at CCU, he gives this incredible, provocative statement that Christian universities offer something that no one else offers.
Absolutely.
And the backstory on that is I know that, you know, from Michael Camaraderie at the Ethics of Religion and Public Policy in D.C., that Brooks came to faith in Christ as a Jewish person. His wife left him. And, you know, he may not always line up on every issue that we do, but the fact is he makes this statement, Christian University, you offer something no one else does.
Sure. Sure.
How do you receive that statement and how do you respond to it?
You know, I think we're seeing that played out on certainly campuses on the East and West Coast where free speech is even questioned and even the ability to have an opinion that would be a conservative opinion or an opinion that isn't liberal enough is certainly being shut down. They're threatened by those that would come onto campus and provide a different type of perspective or point of view that isn't in line with, call it mainstream, or certainly the secular media. So I think that comment is very much in line. If at Christian universities we have the ability to talk about certainly every academic subject, and we do, but then also, how does that impact your faith? And how does biology or how does business play into my role as a Christian or as a believer? Those aren't conversations that can happen at a secular institution, certainly not at a public institution. And so I think David Brooks is absolutely correct that we are and will continue to have conversations that frankly can't be had on many, if not most, campuses in today, literally.
And Dr. Sloan accents this even further than some of the mediocre Christian universities.
Sure,
I mean, here we have a leader that has said that we are going to be distinctly Christian. I mean, it wasn't until recently that we joined the Little Sisters of the Poor in a lawsuit against what was at the time the Obama administration on forced contraception mandate.
Sure.
It takes a lot of nerve to do that. I remember when we were at Fifth Circuit Court in downtown Houston and then went out on the steps and Dr. Sloan addressed the media. There is a distinction to the Christianity offered at HBU, isn't
there?
Sure,
there is. And I think that, you know, at HBU, you know, we attract a student body that probably many, if not most, would be surprised are Houston Baptist or HBU students. When you think of a, you know, Baptist university in the South, some images or pictures of what a student body would look like certainly come to mind. And I think what is beautiful about what we've done here at HBU is we haven't watered down the gospel. We haven't removed we're probably more intentional about our faith than many other Christian universities. But we're also not the white Baptist traditional minds, you know. So we have students certainly from all faiths, but from all ethnicities, and you know our student body is, you know, less than 30% white. So we're majority underrepresented minority, and in fact our Hispanic population, you know, is close to 30%. So this is a different kind of place, right? And I think that not only feeds into the look and feel of the institution, but certainly our Christian mission in a lot of ways is contributing to and certainly even driving that.
You know, James, I've had friends that live in different cities that have come and viewed Houston Baptist University in the city of Houston. And they have just said to me, and I think it's very sincere, they said, Jerry, the potential of HBU, given where it is,
absolutely,
is off the charts.
It is. It absolutely
is. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think you know, that's what, I mean, Houston, we are certainly vulnerable to changes in the price of a barrel of oil. I mean, our economy is so heavily tied to oil and gas and energy, but at the same time, this city is growing and thriving and is on a phenomenal trajectory. And I think that makes it even that much more exciting that we're not, I don't want to name another city and pick on another city, but we're not in a 100,000 population city, right? We're in a fourth largest, probably soon to be third largest city in America that is just a dynamic and growing and thriving environment to be in.
Now, James, help me understand that in the recruitment process, how that a student is targeted mm-hmm. and then eventually brought into sure. Houston Baptist.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
I know there's probably a whole different set of rules for the undergraduate
sure.
than the graduate school.
Absolutely, yeah. So from our perspective, what we want to do is our goal is to find a student before they find us. If they find us before we find them, then we've missed that opportunity to cultivate that relationship. So what that means is students that are taking, you know, the PSAT or other college survey-based instruments as a sophomore in high school, we want to know who they are at that stage and start cultivating that relationship even as they're a sophomore in high school. In fact, we even have a scholarship program through raise.me where even freshmen, as early as a ninth grader, you know, freshmen in high school can start literally acquiring scholarships to HBU as a
wow.
freshman in high
school.
And
that's R-A-I-S-E?
R-A-I-S-E.me, raise.me. And they call them micro scholarships. So you can create a profile even in your freshman year in high school. And for every A that you get, you know, you earn $150. And for every organization that you're involved in, you earn, you know, a couple hundred. So you start
sure.
literally acquiring these scholarship dollars as a freshman in high school, so that you're cultivating that relationship and hopefully getting in that mindset of HBU is on my radar, HBU is on my short list, hopefully. And then we go into the junior year, and certainly by the senior year, that's when it all ramps up. So summer before the senior year, we're communicating heavily, and as students start applying and certainly visiting institutions, and that's what ultimately we're looking for fit, right? So We can certainly get whatever nursing, business, pre-med, education degree. You can do that anywhere, right? But we want to find those students who not only fit, but HBU and our culture, our environment really resonates with them. And so we're trying to start sooner versus later, kind of communicating that and helping them hopefully come onto campus and visit and experience that for themselves. And I think in some sense, we've had some success at that, but there's still a whole lot of students we'd surely like to reach out to
sure.
and keep that process going.
And we have this, we refer to first generation mm-hmm. or first gen mm-hmm. students. And I imagine there's a bit of fear or
absolutely.
The unknown for a parent mm-hmm. who, or even a student who, no one in their family has ever gone to university or college. Mm-hmm. How do you help those
absolutely.
Families?
That's such a good question. And not only are we doing things more intentionally for those students, but we've even received federal funding in the form of a TRIO or student success grant to help with first-gen students and to help with underrepresented minorities. And so what we're trying to do is, even in those early stages, not only help them get the information they need about HBU and college in general, but we're even connecting them during the summer, starting the summer before they would enroll through a bridge program where we kind of have this summer launch program where we're inviting those students to come to campus. There's a very, very strong, robust first gen program. We call it Gen 1, where those students really kind of become a cohort amongst themselves. And they're encouraging one another and they're helping each other along. And there's all kinds of touch points and encouragement and support along the way. So we probably have about a third of our students, maybe a little bit higher than that, that are first gen, and roughly 40% who are Pell eligible. So we not only serve a diverse and needier population, but a lot of these students, they're the first in their family to go to college. And so when and where we can help those students succeed, it's a joy and a pleasure, and it's even a missional commitment that we have to help those students.
So in for those first gen and or regardless families that have had children go to school, not to have sticker shock at the price of education.
Sure.
I mean, there is opportunity for subsidy and
Absolutely.
For scholarship. Can you kind of drill down on that? Because,
You
know, looking
yes.
at it closer as I've yes. done, I kind of thought, wow, if they only knew what it really cost.
Absolutely. You know, and the cost is probably the biggest hurdle or barrier to entry for some. And what we try to explain to students is nobody pays sticker price, right? So there is a sticker price, but in reality, there are all of the scholarships and merit aid that students are going to qualify for. And practically every incoming student will get some type of a scholarship or grant. And the 95% even get additional aid above and beyond that, whether it's federal, institutional. So there's all these different things, and that's why this raise.me program is so critical, because now students can realize they don't have to wait till their senior year. They can start accumulating those scholarship dollars even as a freshman in high school. So then when they get to their end of their junior year, they have this nest egg of $10,000 or $12,000 maybe that now they know I can apply that to HBU, and then I'm still going to apply for institutional aid and need-based aid, right? So that's a huge barrier that we spend a lot of time trying to help students and coach students through the financial aid process, through the scholarship and application process, to help them be successful and to realize, you know what, there are some students, yes, that will have to borrow. But even helping students realize that even the money that they borrow is still an investment, right? And the tuition that they're going to pay is an investment in their future. And so, again, those are sometimes the hardest conversations to have. But it's so important that students and especially parents know that there's the sticker price and there's what we call the net price. Mm-hmm. And so knowing the difference between those two is a critical thing.
Well, and an upcoming issue of Pillars, we're doing EDU:ROI, in that what is the return on the investment?
Sure.
Well, we know the return on
absolutely.
The investment. I mean,
absolutely.
People with degrees make more money than
absolutely.
People without degrees. People with postgraduate degrees make more money than people
with. And the unemployment rates, the more education you have, the lower the unemployment rates are.
No question.
So there's this inverse relationship. The less education you have, the higher the unemployment rates and the lower the salary. So we've got to get folks from here to hear, and hopefully we're helping more and more of those students realize and achieve some of those personal goals and dreams that they have.
Now, how can people go on hbu.edu and just get some kind of understanding
sure.
of how to make sense of what
sure.
the costs are
That's
and what the
question.
Opportunities are?
So we have a net price calculator. Every college, university does. So that net price calculator, students can actually put in their high school information, GPA, class rank, test scores or estimated test scores. So they can put all that information in, find out what type of merit aid they might qualify for. They can put in their parents' income information, basically the information that would mirror what's on a tax form. and put that information into the net price calculator, and then we can give them an estimate of the type of financial aid or certainly free money, need-based type aid that they may qualify for. And then, you know, above and beyond that, obviously we welcome students to call and come visit and sit down with us. And it's why one of the things we do at orientation is we literally sit across the table from a student and their parents one-on-one. Every student that comes to orientation, and it can be up to 150 per session, right? So we literally have a huge room where we're sitting across the table with each and every student and their parents one-on-one to talk through the finances and say, okay, now that you're registered, and now that we've got all of your financial aid award information buttoned up, you know, this is what you owe, this is what you've qualified for, so this is the gap. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
So we're even at orientation trying to help them figure out, okay, what are the next steps? Well, we can talk payment plans. We can, you know, there may be other aid we're waiting for or outside aid. So there's all these different things that we're trying to do to help students get comfortable with that number.
It's just almost inconceivable that someone would go buy a new car and right when it goes off the lot, it's depreciated.
Absolutely.
A third.
Yeah.
And then not get an education, which is an appreciable asset.
Absolutely.
Now, where do they find that information on hbu.edu, the cost calculator?
So there's under hbu.edu/admissions, there are links to financial aid,
okay.
There are links to scholarships. There are links to other resources where that information can be found, and or there are certainly phone numbers and contact information. You can even look up your admissions counselor and literally call and see their picture and then call in and talk to, you know.
So there's multiple.
Absolutely.
What's the criteria of who's my admission counselor? Does it depend on where I'm calling from?
It depends on where you live. If you're from Houston, obviously everybody has a piece of Houston. If you're, you know, in Dallas, Fort Worth, or the Valley, or East Texas, we have the state broken up, and then we have obviously our out of states broken up.
Okay, very good. Well, yeah. James Steen, Vice President of Enrollment Management at Houston Baptist University, thank you for being
Absolutely.
Here. We're excited about, 11 years in?
11 years.
And still young, and soon to be Dr. James
yeah,
Steen.
Well, huh? We're going to work.
What is your thesis going to be on?
So I'm working on a dissertation on branding in higher education. So how does a university make and project meaning? And, you know, that word branding has become almost meaningless these days because
right.
we throw that word around to mean so many different things. And so I'm in the weeds of a lit review right now on all these different branding sources up to my eyeballs in it. But it's going to be a great topic.
That sounds great. Well, we look forward to you achieving that. I remember the day both Christy and I got our doctorate, and I've got to say, I looked at my wife and I never saw her happier.
You only want to do that once.
And then you quit studying for about a year.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, James.
Exactly.
We'll catch up again.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
At HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.